Welcome back to another episode, everybody, of the Fun Stretch Podcast. You're at the best seat at the track, and I'm your host, Davey Siegel, as always. We got a big show planned today. Brandon Brown is on with us to chat about his great run at Charlotte Motor Speedway and great year in Xfinity so far. Plus, Jared Haas is on to talk more about Charlotte and preview Sonoma this weekend in Northern California. Let's get it started.
Boogity, boogity, boogity! Let's go racing, boys!
Green flag is out on the podcast this week. I want to welcome on Jared Haas, like Stuart Haas, but there's no relation to Gene Haas here, is there, Jared?
There is not. Like I said, it's an odd coincidence because when I first started racing, that's when Johnny Sauter was making his Cup debut in 2006 mm-hmm. at Charlotte. So it was kind of interesting to be like, oh, there's actually a Haas car out on track, but we have no relation to Gene Haas. Yes. And it's an honor to be on this podcast with you too, Davey.
Yeah, well, we're happy to have you on. Let's talk a little bit about the Coke 600, Kyle Larson. I think that's pretty much enough said, so we can move on. No, I'm kidding. But man, I mean, he put an absolute whooping on him. This race in recent years, Jared, has seemed to lend itself to dominating drivers and dominating teams a little bit. Hendrick finishes 1, 2, 4, 5. Larson sweeps all the stages, leads 328 laps. I was close, actually, because that morning on SiriusXM NASCAR Radio, I predicted that Larson would win every stage and lead 350 laps. So I was a little bit off, but I digress. What do you think of his performance? I mean, his second win of the year, he probably should have more. Best team, best driver, best car on mile and a half tracks. So we probably should have seen this coming.
Oh, absolutely, too. I think, you know, leading up to the weekend, you saw a lot of inertia for dominant cars not completing the win. You saw Sheldon Creed. He was dominant in the first few stages, and then he got wrecked on a restart, too. You saw Daniel Hemric led over half the race, got taken out in a late race restart. It just seemed like it was building up to be one of those races where this was going to slip out of Larson's hand, but, you know, there wasn't that last green flag pit stop. There wasn't that mistake on pit road race.
He did not want to see a caution.
No, not at all. I think he was just trying to tell him to get out of the way, just go in the grandstands too. But like I said, it's impressive to see how Hendrick Motorsports has come together as a whole too. I'll give you a little bit of trivia. When's the last time that all four Hendrick cars won a race in a season?
Ooh, okay. I don't want to take up too much time here, so I'm trying to think back in my head. I'm going to go out on a limb and say 2016.
You're close. It was 2014 with Jeff Gordon, Jimmy Johnson, Dale Earnhardt Jr.,
Dale
and Casey
Jr.
Kane.
Casey Kane, right.
So, I mean, like I said, that's the last time that they won four races. So Hendrick Motorsports is starting to mesh together as a team too, and obviously it starts with the top with Chad Knaus.
It does. And I mean, we've had William Byron and Alex Bowman on this very show, and I've asked both of them, because all four of the drivers are relative introverts, right? So what are the competition meetings like on Mondays? And Bowman and Byron both have said, yeah, Chad leads those, which is not surprising to anybody. And I do think that that's a bit of an undercovered storyline so far this season, because when you have somebody like Chad Knaus, who's going to be a first ballot Hall of Famer, winning all the races and championships that he has, having all the knowledge that he does, and instead of applying it to one car and one team, now dispersing that over four drivers, four cars, four teams, helping the crew chiefs on those respective cars, you know, hone their craft and do their thing at the racetrack and away from it, that is invaluable. So I think it's a confluence of a bunch of different things. William Byron coming into his own, Kyle Larson going on a tear, Bowman having stability, Chase Elliott being the defending champion, crew chiefs being confident in their abilities, Chevrolet hitting it at the right time, and Hendrick as an organization just being up right now in the cycle that is NASCAR racing.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I mean, you've kind of saw it like earlier a few years ago. It seems like Joe Gibbs Racing was working together. It seems like Truex and Hamlin were like bouncing off each other too. It seems like it's the team dynamic this year. Last year it was like Kevin Harvick versus Denny Hamlin, what we were talking about last season too. It seems like this season we're talking more Hendrick Motorsports versus Joe Gibbs Racing. We're not talking about, oh, it's just this one driver too. So I think there's a lot of shared information going into the top that's the reason why there's been so much success for these teams.
And that's a good stat you mentioned. 2014 was the last time all four Hendrick cars won a race in a season. And I talked about this on another podcast this week, but I mentioned the cycle that is Cup Series racing. You know, like teams being at the top of their game goes in cycles, because it wasn't but 2 or 3 years ago when everybody was saying, what in the world is going on at Hendrick Motorsports? The sky is falling at HMS. And now, if they don't finish top five, all four of their cars, you're saying, oh, we could have done better that weekend. I mean, that's just how this works. Stuart Haas, on top of the world last year with Kevin Harvick. Now they're scratching and clawing at the bottom of the bucket, right? Team Penske, they've been good in recent years. This year, they're very good. All three of their drivers have won. But this weekend at Charlotte, something was left to be desired there. So I don't think that it's necessarily surprising that Hendrick is so good right now. I think it's just surprising how good they actually are, because I expected them to be really good. I expected all four of their cars to be in the playoffs and probably win races. But I didn't expect them to surpass Petty Enterprises for most wins all time this early. I didn't expect all four of their drivers to win this early. I didn't expect 1-2-3-4 and 1-2-4-5 to happen this early. They're on another planet right now.
And like I said, too, I think they're applying the philosophy of you're only as good as your worst team. And when your worst team finishes fourth at Dover, I think you're doing pretty good right now, too. And yeah. I think also going back to Stuart Haas Racing, I think this is going to be a big barometer for Stuart Haas Racing and Kevin Harvick. A little bit of a preview into the next section to somebody in Stuart Haas Racing has the best average finish of current drivers at Sonoma. So, like I said, this will be a make it or break it type of race for one of those Stuart Haas racers.
Yeah, I think it will be. Let's talk a little bit more about Charlotte. Kyle Busch finished third, broke up the Hendrick Brigade. It's like a Hendrick Motorsports sandwich, two in front, two behind. He's best of the rest, and that's good. But when the best of the rest is not the best, leaves a little bit to be desired, especially for Kyle Busch.
Oh, absolutely. Like I said, I think Kyle Busch, like I said, sometimes he hits his stride and sometimes he doesn't without the practice. I think this weekend having practice really benefits the 18 team, and it kind of shows that there too. I mean, you kind of had that, like I said, he only had his one win this season, and it was just kind of, he was there. There wasn't that dominant Kyle Busch Cup Series win we haven't seen since this pandemic racing style too. So I think the 18 team is going to be looking forward to having more practice sessions and having more qualifying sessions to work on that car. Because it seems like I said, Kyle Busch, he seems like a very knowledgeable driver too, and he knows what he wants, and you got to tweak on it during practice too. When you don't have that time, you either hit it or you miss it.
That's a great point. Yeah, practice is big for Kyle. He said so the past year and a half or so. So whenever they have it, they try to capitalize, and it looks like they have been doing that, especially this past weekend. Jared, anything else stand out to you about the 600? It was one of the shortest 600s in recent memory, under 4 hours, just under 4 hours. But it still is a damn long race.
I didn't
fall asleep during it. I don't take naps. I don't fall asleep. But I know plenty of people that did and that do. And, I mean, it's no secret that this race wasn't the best one that we've ever seen in our lives. But do you think that it still should be 600 miles? Are you with the tradition aspect, or do you think that it should be shortened?
I'm more like the tradition aspect too. I think the 600 and road course racing are two, like I said, those are where stage racing is hurt the most too. The 600 has the prestige of being 600 miles. You know, you got to go 600 miles too. You could be caution free, and that's that could be hard on engines too. And that's where it builds its prestige on, is can you build equipment and survive those 600 miles too? And like I said, next week is Sonoma. And, you know, we had pit strategy going on when you didn't know when the cautions was, when you're going two stops or three stops too. So I think, like I said, NASCAR needs to look to maybe do it away with stages for the stage racing for the 600, not go away with the points, but just the breaks themselves too. I think that's just, it just seems like more 400, 100 lap races than one 400 lap race too. And I think that's something they need to look into. Like I said, stage racing's provided some good racing at certain tracks, but the 600 and road course racing are probably the two of the worst tracks you can have them at.
I don't think I can add much more to that. I think you said it perfectly, because the 600 to me right now, it doesn't feel like a 600-mile race anymore. It feels like four short 100-lap spurts, and that takes away the strategy aspect of it. And especially looking at the dichotomy when you see the Indy 500 and this organic strategy playing out in a crown jewel event, all the pomp and circumstance, like, that's it, right? And then you go to the Coke 600, and it's some pomp and circumstance before the race, and it's fun, and it's a crown jewel, but it just doesn't have the same feel anymore. And I don't know if that's because it's up against the Indy 500. I don't know if it's because of the 550 package. I don't know if it's because of the stages, and it's so predictable, just cutting every stage in half. And, I mean, this race technically holds more weight than any race in the season because it has more points on the line. And the road course racing, you said it pretty well yourself, so I got nothing more to add there. Great point by you, Jared Haas. Why don't you stick around? We've got to get a quick break out of the way. We'll come back and chat with Brandon Brown.
Sounds good.
This week's Stage Break is brought to you by nobody yet. But as I say every single week, I'm told that we are working on it. I'm getting tired of saying that, but I'm being told that we're working on it, so hopefully I'll have something to report soon. In the meantime, if you would like to attach your brand or associate it with myself, Jared, no relation to Gene, and everybody here at frontstretch.com, contact Kevin Deedy, DEADYK37@gmail.com. Advertising is wide open here on the Front Stretch podcast, and other opportunities are available at frontstretch.com. So contact Kevin Deedy, DEADYK37@gmail.com. Let's throw it over to our interview with Brandon Brown of Brandon Built Motorsports, coming off of a top five run at Charlotte Motor Speedway. Impressive stuff from him and the 68 team. Their second top five of the season, already a new career high for top fives in a season for Brandon Brown, and the best is yet to come. Here's our chat with Xfinity Series competitor Brandon Brown. Pleasure to welcome on to the show this week, Brandon Brown of Brandon Built Motorsports. He's coming off another top five finish this past weekend at Charlotte Motor Speedway. We were just talking before we started recording. Busy week for you after a nice run on track. It's good to be busy, especially for a small team like yours, getting all the media coverage after a great run like that. Congrats on a nice finish.
Oh, thank you so much. Yeah, it's absolutely great to be busy in this way. Not like, you know, the small teams are always busy with putting cars together and stuff, but it's really cool to be busy on this media side too.
Yeah. No complaints there. So you got into the top five at Charlotte because of a differing tire strategy you guys implored. Got to be honest, when Doug called you down, I was like, I don't know about this. I mean, we'll see, but that's why he makes the big bucks, making the calls on top. And I'm not making the calls for you as a crew chief. So when he made that call and you guys implored that tire strategy as a driver, are you just saying, all right, I got full faith in Doug, let him do what he wants? Or are you kind of being like, really? Are we pitting this late?
Well, it's one of those things where, you know, I understand where we are as a team. I understand where our equipment lies. And I know that to get these kind of finishes, we need to be willing to take a risk. So the risk was worth the reward this week. I mean, we would have had a much different conversation if it was, you know, Ryan Sieg was on the same strategy as us, but you saw on that restart, he just got run over. So luckily we were able to stay out of harm's way. You know, I actually got on the radio and I was like, all right, well, my vote is to, you know, save the tires. Let's get them later. But I'm like more than certain that Doug was looking at people on the box like, well, his vote didn't really matter, but, you know, I'm glad that he's voting the right side. so it was one of those things where, you know, you got to go down in flames of glory if you're going to do it.
Yeah. Well, you did it well. So congrats on that. And I mean, look, I'm looking at the stats right now. You're already tied your career high for top tens and top five finishes. We're only 12 races in. So, I mean, this has got to be the best start to your Xfinity Series career, right?
Oh yeah. I mean, it's crazy. 'Cause like the perspective is so different. Like, the start of last year, you know, we started out really well. We were, you know, stayed fairly within the playoff talk, you know, most of the year. And it's like, man, like, I need to get back to that. And so, like, it's such a great start, but I'm like, man, I'm still not in the playoffs. What's going on? So, it just goes to show how competitive it is this year and, you know, what it takes to get in the playoffs. So, like, you know, when we went in and put those tires on late and we were running down the top five, I was like, man, we need one more caution. Like, somebody throw a water bottle on the track. Somebody throw something shiny. What do you see over there? Is there a caution needed?
Yeah.
So it was, but yeah, I'd say this is definitely the best start I've had to a season.
The Xfinity Series field, I think, for my money, is the most competitive field top to bottom in NASCAR right now. It's the best racing in NASCAR right now. And I was talking with Tommy Joe Martins yesterday, somebody that you've raced around for a handful of years now. And, I mean, he says it all the time, like, from top to bottom, even the battle to qualify for these races between the Bassetts, Jordan Anderson. I mean, the battles are insane. And I'm curious for your perspective, because with a team like yours and your driving career, you know, you have battled for 30th place finishes. You have battled for 20th place finishes. You're now battling for top 10s, top 15s, and top 5s, even race wins here and there. So what's the feeling for you as a driver to know that that progression has worked and you've done it, quote-unquote, the right way? It hasn't happened overnight. It's taken a lot of blood, sweat, and tears, but to know that your hard work has paid off and now you're oh so close to achieving that goal, you've made the playoffs, you've done that, you're close to winning now. I mean, what is that feeling like for you?
Oh, it's just absolutely incredible. You look at what it's taken to get here. And I remember being in the spot that people like Jordan Anderson and the Bassetts and everybody were in. I remember that vividly in 2015 when I was in the trucks. I remember our part-time family truck team showing up at Martinsville just to get starts so that I could get licensed to race. I was like, man, they're, you know, 40 plus trucks are showing up. It's the same thing. You just have way too many Xfinity. There's so many Xfinity cars. It's so competitive that now you got to be the best to get in. So it's definitely a tough road to hoe. So it feels really, really great to be in the position that we're in. And like, you know, I mean, you saw it qualifying in Charlotte. I was like, oh, thank God we had the points. you know, we went out dead last and, you know, and qualified. It was hot and slick. I was like, ooh. Well, you know, so whoever bet on us on DraftKings, you're welcome for that.
I should have.
Yeah. But no, it's just so great to be where we are and to have grown as an organization, to have taken on some great personnel. I always give a lot of thanks and praise to Doug Randolph for what he does for our team. But, you know, him and the folks over at ECR and RCR for being a part of this and, you know, rooting for us to grow. So it's awesome.
You had one of my favorite quotes of the year after your top five this past week. You said, quote, "We're not just here to play." And I love that because people will look from the outside and say, oh, Ty Gibbs wins again. Cindric's in the top five. You got your college cars. You got your junior motorsports cars. But people don't understand. I mean, Jeremy Clements, he's ahead of three junior motorsports cars, a Gibbs car, RCR. You're right in the thick of that battle. And it's true. Like, what you said is true. You are not just here to play. The uptick in your team's performance with the 68 this year specifically compared to last year, it's significant. It's substantial. So I don't think people are quite understanding that when we talk about the depth of the Xfinity Series field, we're not just talking about the four junior motorsports cars, Gibbs, RCR, and Stuart Haas. It includes Brandenbilt. It includes Jeremy Clements. It includes Sieg. It includes Jordan Anderson. When they make the show, they're really fast. So it's true what you said. So I guess my question is, are you like mad that people are not appreciating what you're doing? Do you feel like people are, or would you rather have that underdog mentality?
So, I mean, I won't say that I'm mad. I'm just, you know, I don't want to be looked at as the thorn in the side. You know, I just want race fans. I mean, really and truly, if we're going to be honest, race fans need to understand that now, hey, you know, there's going to be a lot of kids that come into the sport and they're going to have a ton of money. They're going to go run Penske, RCR, junior, college, whatever. But that doesn't guarantee them into the playoffs anymore in the Xfinity Series. Just because you're on that team doesn't make you a playoff contending driver. You have to earn it now because the, you know, the thorn in the side is, you know, Brandenbilt Motorsports, Jeremy Clements Racing, Ryan Sieg, you know, that, you know, everybody that's there, we're, you know, we're there to compete. We're not laying over. We're getting competitive. You know, the field's coming back to us. So we have to take advantage of it. And, you know, if I'm able to prove what I can do in my equipment compared to theirs, you know, if I knock you out of the playoffs, to me, that's a win because I'm doing it. You know, it's my team. We're putting in the time and the effort. So I love that it's coming back to that.
Enough said if you knock them out of the playoffs. I think it's enough said already that you and the 51 specifically, they've had a really great year. I mean, like being ahead of those powerhouse teams with so much more manpower, so much more budget, all that type of stuff, it's really impressive. But one thing you mentioned is, you know, young drivers coming in with the money and they can buy their way quality rides. And that's not to say that they're bad drivers, but from your perspective, a smaller team, somebody who has scratched and clawed their way to get to where they are, and I know you've talked about it at length. You slide into Marcus Lemonis' DMs all the time. You talked about it with Jeff Gluck and his 12 questions. Obtaining a big sponsor to help you finance this racing dream, it's something that everybody knows is tough, but you have lived that, and you continue to live that. So I know it's not easy. Have you seen any more bite on the fishing rod, so to speak, now that you guys have had really good runs? Or do you think it's going to be something that's always a constant struggle for you guys?
So I won't say it's always going to be a constant struggle because I think what we're doing now is, you know, we got to think outside the box. We got to change it up. We got to do something different. You know, the whole thing about sponsorship in NASCAR is adapt or die. So, you know, if you want to make it to the next level, you need to bring the next level partners. And to do that, you need to do something that's going to turn the eye of the next level partner. I can have great runs, but if I go, well, I have a small family team, we have great runs. Well, why not go to Jeremy Clements? He's a small family team that's got to win, you know? So it's, I got to do something that differentiates me. You know, I can, I used to, you know, sing about it on Twitter about, you know, we're getting great runs. We're getting great TV time. I'm one of the very few drivers that has a college degree in NASCAR. Like, what am I doing wrong? And it's just like, and what was going on is I was looking at it in the way of like, late 2000s, how they were getting sponsors and looking at TV time and all this other stuff. It's, you got to be different. You got to do something fun. You got to do something crazy. I had to chase wild UPS drivers down for real. Like this, that was not, you know, I didn't meet with UPS and go, hey, can I have a driver stop at a house? And like, I'm going to stop. No, I legitimately was staring at 150. Like there's got to be a UPS truck somewhere.
And it was epic, by the way.
And when we found him, I was like, we're going to chase him down. Like, this is what we're going to do. Like, it's real. Like, everything we do is real. So, you know, that's the best part about these smaller teams is everything you see, that's what you get. So it's fun. But that's what it is. It's to get those bites on the lines, you got to be different. And, you know, honestly, we have had quite a few good conversations, nothing concrete yet, but I think getting Marcus on board for that race was a huge help in the way of, you know, yes, it was great to have Marcus on board for that race. I've DM'd him multiple times after, like, let's do it again. Can we do this at another track where I know I'm going to have a stronger run so I can get more money? But I also think it's great to say, hey, look, this is the, you know, somebody that we've been able to work with. So it's been something great to leverage. And Marcus has been open about like, hey, if you can, you know, bring me something, a B2B deal, then, you know, that's what makes the money world go round. So, you know, he's given us that opportunity and that's something that we have to take advantage of to keep the sponsors coming on these cars.
Just a really quick aside, since we're on the UPS thing, I don't think there's anybody else to ask this question, but what can Brown do for you? I don't know. I feel like you would know.
I mean, everything. I mean, just look at this program. What can Brandon Brown do for you? He can, if the Cup team owners are listening, he can come jump in, take the wheel and take it to the front, baby.
Damn,
that's
right,
what I'm talking
can.
About.
Damn right.
Even, you know, anybody, but no, if you're a sponsor listening, I can sell the crap out of you to anybody. I'll sell ice to the Eskimos.
He can do more with less. That's what Brown can do for you.
That's what Brown can do for you.
Yes, sir. All right. Couple more serious questions and I'll let you run. I appreciate your time, man. Yeah. So this weekend we're headed to Mid-Ohio. Presents a bit of a unique opportunity for you guys in the Xfinity Series field. We talked about Jeremy Clements having a win. That obviously came at Road America, a road course. Weird things tend to happen in the Xfinity Series at road courses, but you know you're going to be battling Allmendinger, Cindric, Allgaier up front. How do you attack that race specifically? Are you trying to garner stage points? Are you trying to set yourself up for the last stage? How do you attack Mid-Ohio?
So Mid Ohio is going to be, you know, it's let's get stage points. Those are things they can't take away from us. It's no secret that I'm not a super experienced road racer. I've had some decent runs, but I mean, I'm still very new to it. I'm learning it. Road courses are so technical and so different from ovals that I just need to do everything I can to get some strategy to get stage points for sure. And then at the end, I need to, you know, really take advantage of a strong finish. But Mid Ohio, we haven't been there since 2019. We had to sit out last year, and this year it's, you know, we're finally getting back, and such a stout competitive field, like we talked about earlier, it's going to be tough. You have road course ringers, then, you know, Justin Haley's no sleeper at road courses, mm-hmm. Noah Gragson. You know, those guys are strong, but then Jeb Burton too. But, you know, AJ and Cendric, you know, they're road ringers. So Andy Lally's coming in a strong Auer Motorsports car.
Yep.
So
yep.
There's a lot that's going to be out there. So I'm excited for it because, you know, maybe there's so many competitive guys that they'll start hitting each other and wrecking each other like they did at Charlotte.
Why not?
So, you know, take advantage of their mistakes. Take advantage of their mistakes. Let the weird stuff happen. Let it rain. Put on rain tires and go in. You know, I don't know what to do. Like, all I know is that, you know, I got to be different in every way possible.
Yeah. Yeah. I hear you on that. Hopefully if it does rain, you'll be able to see, and it won't be a monsoon like we saw at COTA. Fingers crossed. Last question for me, Brandon. Right now, I believe you guys are 13th in points, so you're right below that playoff cutoff. I know you can get up there. You know you can get up there. I think you probably will. Is making the playoffs still the goal for this team, or have the goals maybe risen up a little bit more? What do you think the realistic expectations and goals are for yourself as a driver and your team overall?
Realistic goal, make the playoffs. That's the expectation, I guess we'll say, is to make the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
Our goal is to make it to the second round of the playoffs, at least. You know, we want to take what we did last year and take it one step further. So, it's important for us to do, just especially to show, you know, other people that, hey, this program is building. You know, that's not, we're not getting to the chart and hitting our ceiling and just, you know, flatlining. We're constantly climbing, we're building, we're finding new, finding better, you know, and this is all doing it without even leasing motors every race. So that's like the next big step is, you know, let's get big partners on the cars, let's lease motors, let's get the same horsepower as these guys and level the playing field, because then who knows where we go.
What can Brown do for you? We found
what
the answer.
What can Brown do for you?
And we have nothing more to go but up to the moon.
To the moon. Vanderbilt Motorsports to the moon. You heard it here first.
Yes, sir. That's a great place to end it. Brandon Brown, great catching up with you, man. Congrats on another great run. Good luck at Mid-Ohio. Stay dry if it rains, and we'll be seeing that 68 go to the moon.
Awesome. Thank you.
You got it, man. White Flag is out on the Front Stretch Pod. I want to give a really quick thank you to not only Brandon for giving him some of his time, giving us some of his time, but also Mac McLeod, who helped coordinate that conversation. Great to catch up with Brandon, and hopefully you guys enjoyed that chat as much as we did. Let's welcome back on Jared Haas to preview Sonoma this upcoming weekend. I don't know about you, man, but I'm pretty excited about this one. I've been to Sonoma a couple times. It's unbelievable country. It's great to be there in Northern California, and NASCAR has not been to Sonoma since 2019 because last year, COVID, the pandemic, forced the cancellation of that race due to California's restrictions. I think they're still running the carousel this year, which I don't think I'm a huge fan of, but anytime you go to Sonoma, I'm excited about it. How do you feel?
Like I said, I'm kind of excited about that too, going back to a track that we haven't seen since pre-pandemic too.
Yeah.
I think this is, like I said, this is a lot of that elevation change that we had at COTA too. Mm-hmm. So I think you might want to look out for some of the players that were at COTA to be well at Sonoma too.
Are you telling me Chase Elliott's going to be a car to beat at a road course?
I think I'm going to agree with most of the experts too. That might be pretty likely.
Yep.
I wouldn't hedge bets against them.
No, I wouldn't either. I know you got an interesting stat for us in terms of Sonoma and Stewart Haas drivers. Why don't you lay that on us?
So the driver with the best average finish of current drivers is Kevin Harvick. And close second, you wouldn't believe it, is Ryan Newman. So, like really? I said, Stuart Haas. Yeah, Ryan Newman. He ran it. Like I said, he's been running at all the finishes at the races at Sonoma. You don't expect him.
Do you have Ryan his average Newman, finish on hand?
It's like around 12th place. They're about the same. They're about a 0.1 off too. But Ryan Newman can be pretty sneakily good.
Apparently,
he's been good at like at super speedway races. He can be good at too, even though he's at the worst too. But like I said, Kevin Harvick is the best of the current drivers too. And like I said, if he's going to perform, like I said, this is going to be. If he doesn't perform well, there should be alarm bells going off at Stuart Haas Racing.
What about Stuart Haas's other drivers? Because Chase Briscoe is pretty sporty at road courses. Eric Almirola is okay. Cole Custer is not bad. But I think this could potentially be a good weekend for Stuart Haas to potentially sneak some of more of their cars inside the top 15, maybe even inside the top 10 after a dismal weekend besides Harvick at the Coke 600.
And I think, like I said, there's a lot of just... I don't want to say bad inertia, especially with Eric Almirola too. It just seems like he just gets in the middle of the, like I said, when there's a wreck, he just gets in the middle of it too. I mean, he had the Darlington race where he just, you know, lap five, or lap 10 or wherever, beginning of the race, he wrecked out too. I think it's just avoiding the, like I said, sometimes road course racing can be crazy. Last Sonoma race, there was only the two stage breaks. So like I said, we'll see what type of Sonoma race we're going to get to this Sunday.
I'm interested to see what we get. I assume that Chase Elliott's going to be up front. I would think that Martin Truex Jr. will be up front as well. One thing I don't think that we are going to see, and this is teasing one of my do's or don'ts, but I'm not going to be worried about a monsoon type rain like we're going to have, like we had at COTA. I know Northern California is a little different than Southern California, but I haven't checked the forecast. I assume that we're looking pretty good for this weekend at Sonoma. Don't have to worry about rain tires. Don't have to worry about visibility. We should be okay.
And you kind of tapped into my do's and don'ts too. Like I said, we haven't had a road course this season that hasn't had rain become a topic too. So it's kind of a little refreshing to not have to debate of should we be racing in this? How's the visibility on the track too? Because I know that was the big discussion at COTA.
Have you ever been to Sonoma, out of curiosity?
I have not. The farthest west I've been is Oklahoma, actually. So I need to travel too. I'm Midwest boy. Kind of been there's a few tracks that I've been to, but Sonoma would be a nice track to go to.
So I've been to Sonoma a handful of times. It's a great track. The area itself is, I mean, it's one of, if not the favorite place that all the drivers and teams go to all year long. But seeing Sonoma when it's green in the spring, the pictures of it, I really, really want to see a race there at some point in the spring. And it makes too much sense, Jared, to go to Phoenix, Auto Club, and then Sonoma or Vegas. Throw out all those tracks on the West Coast. It just makes too much sense to knock them all out in one thing. And I get for our West Coast fans that are listening, you know, you want your stuff spread out. That is totally valid. Yeah. But would you have Sonoma here? Or would you rather have Sonoma when it's green and it looks nicer and it's a change, it's different, visually pleasing? Please.
I think so, too. It kind of reminds me of like a Mario Kart track, too, if you're having the green track, because you're kind of used to having the grayer track, too. I mean,
throw some mushrooms out there, some banana peels. Let's do the whole
deal. Some power-ups. Yeah. You know, NASCAR's trying everything. Why not try some power-ups, too? You know, unrestrict the horsepower at Sonoma, too. But, like I said, the West Coast swing, I mean, it's sometimes great too. You got to like scatter them out too. I was actually wrote an article about five interesting former NASCAR tracks they could bring back too. So like I said, one of them's, like I said, the Pikes Peak too. Like I said, there's not a lot going west of the Mississippi. So I think it might be an interesting market to look after for NASCAR because it's one of the faster growing markets in America.
Checkered flag, here I come.
Checkered flag is out this week on the Front Stretch Podcast. Jared, I mentioned to you before, we do our do's and our don'ts. I've had Zach Sterniolo on. I've had Michael Massey on. We had Zoos and Zonts. We had Moos and Monts. We had Neff on. I think we did News and Notes. So I guess we're going to do some Jews. I can say that because I'm a Jew. And some Jonts. So before we get to your Jew and your Jont, let's do my do and my don't, since my name is David here. My do is to expect William Byron to perform really, really well. I believe he won a pole for a Sonoma race a couple years back. It might have been 2 years ago because that's the last time they raced, but Chad Knaus had him play the strategy game, gained a lot of stage points in that race. And also on road courses lately, Byron has been pretty, pretty sporty. Plus, he's in a Hendrick car, so I would not expect him to run poorly. And my don't, as I teased in the last segment, don't worry about rain. Don't worry about rain tires. Don't worry about visibility. We should be all good. It's going to be dry. Might not be too hot because it's NoCal, but don't worry about rain. You don't have to worry about that. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the show. Jared, what is your Jew and your don't?
So I'm going to – it's going to be a do, don't. If you say really fast, it's do-do-do-don't, which leads into my do is keep your gears in track in Sonoma too, because in the last three Sonoma races, the four of the top five starters, and like I said, that's 15 drivers, four of them failed to finish because of a mechanical engine failure too. And
in quite each of the last three?
In the each of the last, like I said, in the last three, four total, right. Sorry. So, like I said, your top five starter might be, you know, he might encounter mechanical issues, too. That's going to be overcome. And one little tidbit, guess who started on the pole for the last three races for Sonoma? It's one driver. And he's starting on the pole today. I mean, starting on the pole
Sunday. Oh, it's Larson.
Larson has won the pole the last three times, too. So, look out for him. And then the don'ts is, like I said, going to earlier, don't bring your rain tires to Sonoma. Weather is going to be fantastic there. And then don't go into the green or the gray, brown in this case, too, because that can just deter. Yeah, it could deter your day getting into those tires, too. And like I said, you want to have some good runs there. You don't want to be, like I said, throw it away because you are trying to shortcut a corner.
Yeah, I hear you on that. Well, Jared, let's make the people some money. What do you say? Right. Are we ready all to right. make some That's, money?
That sounds good.
Okay, here's the game. Odds courtesy of William Hill Sportsbook, NASCAR Cup Series matchups. I will run through the matchups, one driver, head-to-head against another. Simply, quickly, succinctly, you tell me who finishes better. Are you ready?
I am ready.
Kyle Busch versus Kyle Larson.
I'm actually going to go with Kyle Busch on this one, too. I like I said, Larson, even though he started well, he just, like I said, in the recent Sonoma starts, he really hasn't finished well there. I think he only has maybe one top 10 there, and Busch has performed better there.
I'll go Kyle Busch as well. Jared, we're being quick. Let's go. Denny Hamlin or William Byron?
I'm going with William Byron. Can't beat again Hendrick.
I'll ride with Willie B as well. Chase Elliott and Martin Truex Jr. That's a tough matchup.
I am actually going to go with Truex.
Okay, he's the big underdog, so if you want to sprinkle some on him, make some more money. Kevin Harvick versus Alex Bowman. I think I know where you're going.
I'm going with Harvick.
Yeah, I'll ride with Kevin as well. Ryan Blaney and Joey Logano, Team Penske teammates.
I'm going with Joey.
Okay, I will ride with Joey as well. He is the favorite there. Brad Keselowski and Christopher Bell.
I'm actually going to go with Keselowski.
I'm going to ride with C. Bell. He won Daytona earlier this year. I think that gives him some added confidence going in. And Brad isn't a great road racer by any means, but doesn't mean he's bad either.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, Kurt Busch and Tyler Reddick.
Kurt needs a good run. Yeah, Kurt does need – he's performed well too, but I got to go with RCR. Chip Ganassi kind of struggled last week, and RCR is kind of going more up in their stock. So.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm going for
it. I wholeheartedly agree with you there. Matt DiBenedetto and Ross Chastain.
I got to go with Matty D. He needs a good run, too, and go with the Ford, too. So go with Matty D.
Matty D's home track, Sonoma Raceway, being a Northern California resident as well. I'll ride with Matty D, too. This is a very interesting matchup, and it might be my lock of the week. Chris Buescher versus Michael McDowell.
I'm going to go with Michael McDowell.
I'm going to go with Chris Buescher.
Oh, you're going to go with Chris Buescher too.
It's just my gut.
You know what? Actually, my lock of the week, I don't know if you're going to, like I said, if there's any more, I'll get to them if you have any more drivers.
What's your lock?
My lock is actually going to be Eric Jones. You know, Petty Enterprises has been decently good too, and Eric Jones has performed well, especially in Joe Gibbs Racing cars.
Yeah.
But Eric Jones has performed well. He can probably score a solid top 15 if it's a chaotic race. I think he can even crack the top 10 too. So I think he's going to be an underdog lock of the week for me.
That's a good pick. That's a good pick. I mean, road courses put things back in the driver's hands a little bit more, especially with the package they're running. So Erik Jones is a solid pick. A couple more matchups, though. Chase Briscoe versus Daniel Suarez.
I'm going to go with Suarez.
Okay, I will go with Briscoe because I think he's a pretty, pretty good road course racer. Just for why not, here's another bet that William Hill has. Let's see, I lost it here. Okay, it's called a parlay boost. You can bet on Chase Elliott to win, AJ Allmendinger to win the Xfinity race, and Max Verstappen to win the Formula One race all in the same weekend. Let's see, the odds are plus 2,500. So let's say hypothetically I bet $10 on that. I win $260 if that all hits.
That all
I don't think
too.
I would, but
yeah, I like I said, there's a lot of like I said, Xfinity field is going to be really tight there too. Chase Elliott is a pretty decent favorite too, but I think like I said, Martin Truex is going to be a little bit stronger flavor on that favor on that too. So I mean, like I said, if you got a few extra bucks, I mean, go for it. Why not too? But like I said, I'm not going to put the whole mortgage on the on that bet.
No, I'm not going to either. And as we always say, please gamble responsibly. I ain't going to throw no money on this because that's not what I do. But if you choose to, please gamble responsibly. Jared, this has been awesome, man. You've thrown out some great nuggets, some great information, awesome tidbits. I've been wanting to have you on for a while, and I know that you're going to be doing some really cool stuff on the Front Stretch YouTube channel here in the coming weeks and months. So we're looking forward to that.
I do appreciate it. Get ready to deep dive with me, and we'll look at some interesting NASCAR stories, and I get to tell them, and maybe get to learn some new nuggets too.
Yeah, Jared was telling me before we started recording some of the stuff he's got in the works, and frankly, it got me excited because I had heard about a lot of these different things, but I have not done a deep dive. I've only heard little anecdotes, so I'm looking forward to what you cook up. But thank you guys for listening to the Front Stretch podcast this week. Thank you to Brandon Brown for being on, and thank you once again to Jared Haas for joining me. If you like what you heard here today, please leave a rating and a review. Subscribe to the podcast. We should be available wherever you consume your podcast. Apple Podcast. I know we're having an issue there, actually. We're working on it. So if you guys are not getting your podcast via Apple, stand by. We're trying to help you out there. You can still get it on Spotify, Google Play, any other podcast player of choice. We should be available there for your consumption. For Jared and everybody at Front Stretch, I am Davey, and we'll catch you back here next week at the best seat at the track on the Front Stretch Pod.